We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. You must love the Lord, give Him all your heart. You must love the Lord because it's the greatest commandment, child of God. You must love the Lord, give Him your very heart. You must love the because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I've set Him on high because He has known my name. He shall call upon me, I'll answer Him, I'll be with Him in trouble. I'll deliver Him, I will honor Him. Love the Lord, give Him all your heart. You must love the Lord because it's the greatest commandment, child of God. You must love the Lord, give Him your very heart. You must love the Lord, and He's your God, He's your Creator, your Savior. He died for you because He really loves you. Oh, you must love the Lord, give Him all your heart. You must love the Lord because it's the greatest commandment, child of God. Love Him, you must love Him, sweet Jesus, give Him your very heart. With no lie, He'll satisfy you and show you His salvation. Oh, 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 oh. You must love. Say that you love Him, you must love Him. Tell Him you love Him, say that you love Him, show that you love Him. You must love the Lord, yeah. Tell Him you love Him, say that you love Him, you must love the Lord. Tell Him you love Him, say that you love Him, you must love Him. Tell Him you love Him, say that you love Him, show that you love Him. You must love, love Him. Oh, show that you love Him. You must love the Lord. Oh, oh, oh.
Matthew 22. Attempt great things. Now, the next important thing, and I'm giving you 15 of them, and then we are done. We've closed. If we finish before time, then we just go home. All right? So the next important great thing is to attempt to love the Lord. Yes. Attempt to love God. That is why I wanted Ida to sing that song. Attempt to love God. Matthew 22, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment? You see, for obeying a great commandment is a great thing. Yeah. It's a great thing. It's a great commandment. And we are attempting great things. Amen. So one of the great things that we must attempt to do is we must attempt to love God. He says, Master, what is the... Or we must attempt to do the great commandment. And if you do the great commandment, you must be doing something great. And what is that great thing? Verse next. And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Yeah. With all thine heart. And with all thy soul. And with all thy mind. This is the first and the great. This is the great thing. If you can achieve this, you've done a great thing. Amen. Yes. If you can achieve to love God, you've done something great. Amen. With your life. Amen. Yeah. This is a great achievement. To love God is a very great achievement. And it's not as simple as it sounds. It's not as simple as sounds. To love God is a great thing because it's the great commandment and the great instruction. So to love God must be a very great thing. Does it agree with your logic? Check your neighbor. Both arts and science students would probably flow and understand. If this is the big one, let's say you went to an exam hall and there were 4 questions. And question 1 is the big one. It has 75% of the marks. And you were able to do the big one. Would you not say you've done the big thing in the exam? You've cleared the main thing, the great work. You've done it. And then the rest, the last 3 questions, you know, yeah, it wasn't so bad also. You get it. But like the main one, I've done it. So it means I've done a great thing. I've done a great part of the great exam. Or let's say you had 4 exams. And the big one is number 2. And when you do it, you've done a great thing. Like in medical school, the second year exam is the most difficult exam. Not the first, not the third, not the fourth, not the fifth. The second year is the big exam. Not the big exam. The big exam is the final exam, but the more difficult. It's not a good exam, but it's really difficult exam to do. But after that, you know, it's a little more easygoing. But a big one is the second year, MB2. So when you've done it, you've passed. It's like, you'll be okay. So this is the big commandment, to love God. Now, how do you love God? Is the big question. So to love God, there is, I think, 2 ways to be. Now, remember yesterday I was telling you about the two personalities which are commonly found where? Divorce court. Isn't it? And divorce means we don't love anymore. Isn't it? We don't flow anymore. Divorce, wait, listen. You know, divorce means we are not happy anymore. We are not excited anymore. Now, if you love God, you see, because some of us are even divorced from God and we don't even know. Have you ever seen God walking around and say, here's your divorce papers, you divorce. Meanwhile, he's divorcing some of us because we don't love him the way we ought to love him. And when we don't love anymore, we don't flow anymore, we don't touch God anymore, we don't kiss God anymore, we are not happy anymore. And God says, no, I don't want you anymore. Amen. And God says, no, I don't like you anymore. Hallelujah. Are you there? So when people are a certain way, they end up, all right, becoming divorcees of God. So there are two ways to look at that. God divorcing from God, and as a result of not loving God the way we ought to love him. So, how do you love God? John 14, 21. How to love God. Right? Now, narcissistic personality disorder cannot understand this scripture. Look at it. It says, he that hath my commandments, okay, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. If you have my commandments, okay, and you do what I say, you are the one who loves me. Do you see? Yes. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. That's even, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Okay? So, to love God, God is telling us how to love him. Now, a narcissistic personality disorder has two problems. What are the two things I gave you yesterday? Number one, self-absorbed. And number two, indifferent to the needs of others. Yes. This is one of the top personalities, people with personality disorders that arrive in divorce court. We can't, relationship don't work. And the same thing with God. Relationships don't work. Relationship with God don't work because you are self-absorbed in your life. So his commandments is not your concern. Your life is your concern, not his commandments. What he wants. what he liked, what he said, what he wanted, what he talked about, what he was interested in. Yes. Large parts of the church are without their true husband. We thought, large parts of the church. It's like a woman who continues to use her husband's name when he's divorced. Many people, yes, many people continue to use husband's names. Take a good example, a good public example that we know. Nelson Mandela and Winnie Mandela just died. They were divorced and he married somebody else. Nelson Mandela married somebody, but she was using the name Winnie Mandela. I'm sure she had another name before the Mandela came. Yeah. And there are a lot of people that are divorced, they use their husband's name, but the husband is not with them. So we are using, yesterday I showed you the scripture that we are married to God. Isaiah 54, brother, verse 5. Brother man, your maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. So you are Mrs., even the men are Mrs. Lord of hosts. You are Mrs. Lord of hosts. Because the maker is your husband and that's his name. So you are Mrs. Paul, Lord of hosts. Wow. You are Mrs. Paul, Lord of hosts. Amazing. And maybe you are using his name. I'm Mrs. Paul, Lord of hosts, but long time ago, he's gone away. Because he's not flowing with you anyway. He's divorced. Why? I don't think God can. If God is loving God. God is loving. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1. Isaiah 50, verse 1. Try Isaiah 50, verse 1. Let's see what it says. Ah, that says the Lord. Where is the bill of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? I have put you away. Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, your iniquities have ye sold yourself, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. So sometimes some people must be put away for their sins. Go out of the marriage. Yeah. Even God is into divorce. You can see this one here. God said, you know, I can't take this, you know. Can't take it anymore. Wow. I've sold you. Continue verse 2. Wherefore I came, there was no hand, nobody to answer. So you see, God shows here in Isaiah 50 verse 1, he talks about the fact that he's divorced your mother. Yes, he put her away for her ways and her behaviors. Yes. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. And I saw when all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, and I had put her away. I, God, I put her away. And I've given her a bill of divorce. And even though I divorced her, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not and went and did the same thing that I sacked the first wife, Israel. And now Judah is behaving in the same way. Hey! This is exactly what the first wife did, Israel. And her sister, I've married her sister now. Look at the sister behaving the same way. Same Christian sister from the same church. Kalamashaka. So you see that why would God want to put you away? Because he doesn't feel the love anymore. And when he doesn't feel the love anymore, what does it mean? It means that he does feel you obeying his command. You don't feel, doesn't feel you obeying his command, because that's how he loves. He loves and feels your love by your obedience to his things that he says you should do. Yeah. So when he doesn't feel that anymore, after a long time, he may decide to put you away. So you can go away and keep on saying, I'm Mrs. Lord of Hosts, I'm born again Christian, I go to church, and you can be carrying his name all around. It's just a name. But he himself is not with you. But if he's with you, John 14:21 says, he that hath my commandment, he it is that loves. And he that loves, I will love him, and I will manifest. That is why it's such a great commandment. Because, you know, when you love somebody, nobody has to tell you what to do. Nobody write notes down and say, number one, do this. Write love notes. Go for walks. Hold your hands. Sing a song. Buy a gift. This and that. Kiss. Hold his hand. Touch it. You will do all those things because you love the person. Yes. So God will be holding your hand, stroking you, loving you, blessing you, helping you, doing things in your life. But when he doesn't love you anymore and he's not so happy about you, so, hey, go away. You'll be finding all those things for yourself. You have to ask for things. That's why we see Christians all the time praying for money, begging for money, begging for this, begging for that, calling on God for this, breakthrough, health. We need to be alive. We need to be healed. We need this. We need that. We so many things. Christians are praying for most of the time, and it's that he's not doesn't seem to be hearing these prayers. Or you've not noticed, the church is full of begging, people begging for money, begging for healing, begging for life, begging for whatever. Yes. Now you got to ask. When you are not loved, you have to ask for questions. You have to ask for things. Please, can I have money to buy this? Please, can I have this? Please, can I go? Please, can I stay? No, you can't stay. Go. Can I stay tonight? No, go. I don't need you tonight. Oh, can I be with you? Can I be very important? You know, I don't want you to be by my side. I don't want anybody to see us together. Can I be in your house? You can't be in my house. I don't want you in my house. Can I go out with you in public? You can't go nowhere with public. I don't want you to be public with me. I don't want to be associated with you. Can you show your car? Can I use your car? You can't use my car. Use your own car. Find your own taxi. You can't use my car. Can I use your plane? You can't use my plane. Use your own plane. Yeah. I don't want to be with you. I don't want to. Can I have some money? You can't have money. Go and ask your father. Go and ask the person you love. Go and ask whoever you love. Go and ask him for money. You can't have my money. I don't want my money is not coming to you. Can I have a house to stay? You can't have my house. You want to stay in my house? You don't love me. I don't love you. I have people that love me that are staying in the house with me. Yes. Others. People like me. You can't have my house. You can't have my money. You want my money? You can't have my money. I've given my money to somebody else. Can I buy ice cream? No, I don't have ice cream for you. No ice cream. Not for you. Lord, I've not heard you say I love you for something. Yeah, because I don't have that feeling. I don't have that feeling. I don't see why. Say I love you. I don't feel like saying I love you. Show love. I don't feel like showing you love. You love me. Which part of you is showing me that you love me? We are not obeying his commandments and we are expecting God to manifest himself. Listen. You should see people who are no more loved. They can beg for love. And I always tell people, unless you have a borderline personality disorder, which is the next type of disorder, is that you can't force somebody to love you. When he doesn't love you, just relax. You know, those are things only God can do for you. He can make somebody like you. Yeah. You know, one day I was preaching in church, and I came to, there was a sister sitting in front, and I asked her name and where she's from. And her brother, later, he told me, he said that, when you ask her what is her name, I looked to see who she was. And I felt in my heart I should love this girl. So he loved her and he married her. So when they were getting married, he came, he brought her to me in the office and said, "We're getting married. We're getting married on Saturday." And then he said, "How?" So I said, "How did you meet?" He said, "Oh, one day you were preaching and you stopped and you asked, 'What's your name?'" And he said, "My name is this." And he said, he just felt a love when he heard her voice. And she said, "I'm this," said, "No, I want to love this person." So he married her. Yeah. Yeah. And you see, God is the one who puts things in people's hearts. You can't force it. You can't force it. Just love me. Talk nicely to me. Talk gently to me. Say, "I love you." Say, "I love you." I don't feel "I love you." I don't feel any love. I don't feel like saying it. I don't feel like saying it. It's a long time. I don't feel like it. That's why it's a long time. I don't have such feelings. If you want God to love you and to keep loving you, you know, he's showing us how to have a good relationship. He's telling us how to do it. And he says that if you love him, this is what you do. Keep his commandments. Yes. And then he says, "Sing a song to me." You know, people who lead worship, they feel that when they do worship, they are really loving God. Yes. You know, when you are experiencing prophetic things, you hear the Holy Spirit say. One day I heard somebody leading worship, and the Holy Spirit, "Oh, beautiful songs." The Holy Spirit said to me, "This man is not correct." Yes. Beautiful song. You will never associate those beautiful worship songs with that word that came. "This man is not correct." I said, "How is he not correct?" And then within a few minutes, he showed me and confirmed it. He said, "Wow." I said, "You will never know." But it just came down. "This man is..." The song was beautiful. I was wanted to just sing along. So he's not correct. It's true. Yeah. So you have people that sometimes doing worship and so, because the songs are so beautiful, you get a feeling that, you know, this beautiful song is really making God love God as you kneel down during the worship time. "How I love you, Lord." Hey, if you love him, it's written in there. You know, when I was in my church in London many years ago, pastor was teaching about fornication. He said, you know, he said, when you love somebody, and some people feel that when I love you, I sleep with you. And he said that, no, if you love the person wants to sleep, you say, "No, give the person chocolate. This is what I can give you. That's it. Bye-bye." Yeah, give the person chocolate. Biscuits, chocolate. "This is what I can give you. I can't give you myself. I give you chocolate." Are you still here or you are leaving? Yeah. So some people express love by giving chocolates. I've not heard that before, but the pastor said give chocolate. Some express love by giving flowers. Yeah. But you know, people have sent me flowers before. Don't waste your time. Flowers don't mean anything to me. If you want to give me flowers, don't. I just want to advise, you know, between me and you, don't tell anybody I told you, but flowers, honestly. Yeah. People sometimes show love by giving chocolates. Well, you have to know, I know chocolate because I'm from Switzerland. That's where you have chocolate. You have to be careful when you're giving somebody who knows about chocolate. You have to be careful. Have you heard the story of the guy who went to heaven? He died, he drowned. And when he got to heaven, he was told that tonight is a reception. So everybody's going to be giving speeches. So the angel asked him, what are you going to talk about? Prepare. And said, I'm going to talk about the flood that, you know, when I drowned and how I came here. And the angel told me, remember, Noah is going to be in the service tonight. Remember that Noah is going to be there tonight. So we're going to talk about floods. Noah will be there. So maybe you want to change your topic. Because Noah is coming to church tonight. When you start talking about your small, small floods. You know. Yeah. I'm saying there are different ways of showing love. Someone says, I give you sweet. I give you chocolate. I give you flowers. I give you... But you see, let's face it. You know, I give you a card. A card don't mean anything to me. Cards don't mean... You want to give me a card? Don't waste your time. Something that was printed by... With written words. You didn't write the words. The person has written it. And you're printing it. Go and waste your money to come and buy it from... It doesn't mean anything to me. I don't think it's from your heart. I mean, don't waste your money on me. I mean, somebody else will really appreciate. Maybe a girl or somebody who likes cards will appreciate. But I don't appreciate cards. Yeah. It means nothing to me. Don't waste your money. You see, you have to look at a person and gauge the person very carefully. You know, what means love to you? What mean love? Tell somebody, what mean love to you? Don't be self-absorbed. Yes. What is a narcissistic personality disorder? Characteristic number one, self-absorbed. You are so absorbed in yourself. You don't think broadly. As you are coming to give chocolate, you know, this man is a specialist of chocolate. You don't think broadly. You're going to give flowers, and he doesn't eat the flowers. He doesn't like the flowers. You look at the flowers. What is this? What should I do with it? You want to give card. You want to do what you think. You are self-absorbed. Yeah? You see, love, is you have to carefully analyze the person you are trying to love and say what you like. What mean love to you? Not what you think love means. Yeah. You know, we have different types of people getting married. Some people marry, they are well trained in sex. Yes, that's how they prepare to marry. Like they go for classes. Kelaba Shakaya. Oh yeah, it depends. Shh. Now, if you don't keep quiet, I can't preach. And some people are well trained in cooking. They feel that this is important. So one day I did a survey in church and I asked the brothers, what do you want your new wife to be well trained in? Because some of them well trained. Oh, I cannot preach if you don't let me preach, man. What do you want her to be trained in? Okay. And the answer was, the majority wanted her to be trained in food, in cooking. I was surprised. Yeah, but that was the answer. That was the survey. Majority. The other half wanted sex, but I think. Yeah. So you have to find what you want. What means love to you? Self-absorbed. And what's the second point? Indifferent to the needs of others. So you are in your world thinking, oh, my hair, my this, my that, and I'm going to get a nice dress for this, for this, for that, for that. Do you think Meghan Markle, what is her name? Markle Meghan. Do you think she wore that wedding dress to sleep? No. Yeah. Do you think she wore it to the house? You think she wears it in the house? What did she wear at home? But there are some people who are more interested in what you wear at home than that thing that for the whole world. That dress is for the whole world. Show, man.
Show.
And you wear rags at home and put on whatever to go out. And all the hair, you have all this hair or somebody's hair for outside. But what about at home? Wow. Sit down. Do you need a break? You need a break now? You sure? All right. So what I'm saying is, God is also somebody who likes marriage. Okay? And like his, God is like lovey-dovey. Do you know what is lovey-dovey? Check your dictionary. Lovey-dovey. Lovey-dovey. God is like lovey-dovey. Lovey-dovey. L-O-V-E-Y. Lovey-dovey. D-O-V-E-Y. Lovey-dovey. Check it out. Have you found it? You don't have a dictionary on your phone? What does it say? Lovey-dovey. Very affectionate. Romantic. As what? Excessively so. Expressing much love. Yes. So God, mushy. God is a lovey-dovey God. He's like expressing love. Like, we like to touch you. We like to talk to you, say something. You know? There are some people, they're not lovey-dovey at all. If you marry them, like, you marry like the Statue of Liberty. You know? It's like you marry the Statue of Liberty. It's liberated from you. Separate from you. Hey! On the left and on the right. Yes. I mean, how many want to marry the Statue of Liberty? But that's not how God is. God is like into love, like feelings. God is like lovey-dovey. Yeah. A man of God told me one time, he took a man of God in his car and his wife, and he told me that they were really lovey-dovey at the back. K-Love, shout out. Lovey-dovey man of God. Sit down. How many want to love God? God is not into chocolates. He's not into cards. He's not into flowers. He's not into songs, raps. He's not into all these things. He's into one thing. He's not into sex. Actually, God is not even into sex. Yeah. He's not into food. He's into one thing. Obedience to his will, to his word. Obedience. He that has my commandment and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. He is the one who loves me. This is the guy who loves me. This is the guy who loves me. The one who does what I say. Yeah. God is really into obedience. Now, if you married a man who was into obedience, you would likely to send a text back to your mama or your friend and say, "Hey, man, I married a soldier. I tell you, this guy is like a military man. I tell you. I mean, he expects you to obey everything he says. When he says come, he expects you to come immediately. When he says this, he's expect like, I mean, it's like I'm in a military camp." I mean, that's the kind of message you send back to your mama. I said, Mama, it's not easy in this house. I tell you, there's no flowers here. There's no chocolate. There's no sweet. There's nothing. It's just obedience. Because my husband, he says he's into obedience. Hey! But if you want to be with that kind of a husband, you have to choose. And if you want to be with our God is into obedience. His way of understanding love is obedience. When I say go to the world and preach the gospel, it means go to the world and preach the gospel. If I say go to the world and teach nations, it means go to the world and teach nations. No, there's no variation. Don't come up with your verse. Don't have marriage seminars and do things for children and do all these are not what he's talking about. Yes. Don't change it into worship concerts and worship this and this and that. Follow what he says. He's like, it's like an army. What army? Don't complain. He's a great person you say you love. And that's how he loves. He loves with obedience. How many know that there are some men like that? They are like into obedience. If you marry a man who is into obedience, I mean, that's his love, his way of lovey-dovey. He just closes his eyes and says, come. He closes his eyes and says, stand up. He closes his eyes and says, tea. He closes his eyes and says, coffee. He closes his eyes, food. And you explain to me, when I say food, it means bring food. When I say coffee, it means bring coffee. Now. And he was explaining, I mean, to now things. When I say sex, it means start jumping. Kailama shaka yagalaba. Yeah. It's into obedience. There are people like that. If you want to marry somebody like that, that's how it's going to be. How many want to marry God? You see, you can't. If you don't marry God, where are you going? You don't have no choice, man. I mean, there are so many of us, we would have done anything to marry the prince. Many girls, yeah. If they are told you, you have to do this, you have to do that, you do it. How many girls would have liked to marry the prince? Some of you would have even left Jesus. You must love the Lord. I said you must love the Lord. Amen. You must love the Lord. Amen. Now, the other thing is that there must be no idol. There must be no alternative to God. So, loving God is two things. His lovey-dovey methods are obedience. And then the other thing is no alternatives, no idols. God doesn't want alternatives and idols. And you see, a lot of relationships have these two features. Do what I like, what I want, and I don't want any challenger to my love. Is it not true? Yeah. I don't want no challenger, alternative, any other person who has your heart. I want to marry you and I don't want you to like anybody else. Like only me. Don't like nobody. There's nobody like you, so nobody should be like me. Hey! Are you ready for that kind of love? God is like absolute. Like he doesn't like you talking with others. Like he's absolute. He especially, God is like really into heart things. God is like into heart things. Like he really looking at your heart. You know, if you have anything else you like, you know, like him, it becomes a big problem. Like, you shouldn't like anybody A lot. Yeah. Many people don't know that if there is anything in your life which you like a lot, God can easily touch it. And it will wither. So I don't like things that are challenging. Because I've got a big relationship with you. And I don't like anything that challenges. I told somebody one time, I said, it's possible that your wife died because you love her so much. Yeah, I said, it's possible. I don't know. We'll find out in heaven. It's possible. So you got to be careful. You know, you have to be careful. Marriage and marital relationships are relationships that sometimes can interfere with our love for God. Probably why Jesus didn't marry. Abraham had a lot of problems. Adam had problems. Everybody had problems when they got married. So sometimes men of authority, you know, people that God is really going to do things with, you know, can be dangerous. You get it? Like God is really like kind of like close. You understand?
Yes.
He's like close. Yeah, he doesn't like others around at all. Especially like if he's like big time into you. He doesn't like it at all. And he sends his bombers to bomb whatever else is challenging him and you. Yeah. There are girlfriends who kill other girlfriends. And there are wives who kill other girls. Yeah. I don't want to tell you stories to give you ideas. But my wife was once telling me a case in court. Hello? She was one time telling me about a case in court and how this lady killed somebody who was taking her, I think he was even taking her boyfriend, not even her husband. Yeah. I don't want to tell you the story for you to get no ideas. Yeah. What she did and how she did it. Wow. But I wouldn't be surprised if God will say, hey! You like this thing too much. I want to take it away. Yes. So from today, you're going to decide to achieve a great thing. And the great thing you are going to achieve is to love God. Now, how are you going to love God? Obey Him. And then number two, no alternatives. Turn to Ezekiel. I show you, and then we go for breakfast. Ezekiel chapter 20. Fantastic. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 2, have you come to inquire of me? And as I live, the Lord said, I will not be inquired of by you. No way. I don't want to talk to you. Verse 4. And say unto them, verse 5, thus says the Lord, in the day when I chose Israel, and I lifted up my hand to the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them. Verse 6. In the day I lifted up my hand to them to bring them forth. You know, when God came and took you out of your father's house to a land flowing with milk and honey. Wow. Then I said to them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes. And defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 8. Wow. But they rebelled against me. Huh? And would not hearken to me. And they did not, every man, cast away the abominations of their eyes. Neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Huh. You know, you see, like when God comes to you, it's like he wants you to put away everything else. But the Israelites, they said, we want to have idols. You know, a curse is one of the main methods of God's judgments and punishment, is to curse. Yes. I mean, we don't do that as human beings. I want to punish you, so I curse you. We sort of see it as an ultimate punishment. But with God, if you look through the word of God, you see, most of the time, his dealings with man have usually been with blessings or curses as judgments and punishments. He says, they did not forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, okay, no problem. I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted among the heathen by bringing them out of Egypt. Next verse. Wherefore I caused them to go out to the wilderness. Brought them out into the wilderness. I gave them statutes. I gave them statutes. Listen, this is God showing you his love. I gave them commandments, which if a man do, he shall live. God is showing, I'm giving you instructions. I'm giving you how to love me. You see, when you are self-absorbed and somebody tells you, I want this and I want it like this, you can't do it. When you are self-absorbed, you can't love. You've married somebody and you want to make sausage and salad for his dinner. And he says, I don't like salad. You know, I don't like the salad. Yes, I don't want to eat salad. I don't want to eat sausage and salad. But you want to give him salad and sausage for dinner, and if you are self-absorbed and indifferent to the needs of others, and he says, I don't enjoy this sausage and salad. Yes. I gave them my statutes. I gave them my judgments, which a man will do and shall live. Our relationship will live on. Then I gave them my Sabbaths. It's like a ring. The Sabbath is like a ring, which will be a sign. You see, the Sabbath, look, up till today, Jews, you know, after all this pandemic, they started to follow the things. When you see Jews, on Saturday, they don't work. They have the law firms. They have every Saturday, no work. Even Israel, when you go to Israel, You'll be in a hotel. On Saturday, they'll not come to clean the room. You can't get a taxi. You can't buy food. You can't get a restaurant open. You can't get anything done. It's amazing. They don't even press the lift. The lift is programmed on Saturday. It goes from ground to 1, 2, 3, 4 by itself. So you get out. But to press the number 3 is work. So you don't press it. Yeah. Sabbath. It's a sign. You see, and all over the world, you see that it marks out the Jews and separates them from the rest of society. Saturday, we don't wear. Yeah. I gave them the Sabbath as a sign that you are my baby, man. You are my baby. You are my baby. I love you, baby. I love you, baby. Verse 13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes and they despised my... I told them I don't like sausage and salad, but they gave me some. They despised. They said, nonsense. You eat sausage. You want to eat bread. And I despise it. What is bread? I don't want bread. You know, when I got married, my wife, I have the food that I like at that time. She made the food. Her mother came and her mother said, this is not food. Why do you make this? And she told her mother, this is what he likes. This is what he likes. Because it may not be food to you, but it's what is my food to me. You can't come from somewhere and say, what is food? I know what is food to me. What you eat as food may be like, blah. Yeah. But I have what I like, and you have what you like. You can't despise my food. You can't despise what I like. That's what I like. But he says, God showed what he liked, and they despised him. They despised his instructions. You know, one day a certain wife made a stew. Do you know what is a stew? Do you know what a stew is? Stew like a sauce with vegetables. And you know, the husband was explaining, I don't like vegetable stew. I want some meat in the stew. And it became a long argument. I said, I don't like vegetable stew. I'm not a vegetarian. And it was becoming a whole thing. You can't despise what somebody says. I like it. If I say I don't like cards, and you have decided to now bombard me with cards, it's like you don't even take heed of what I'm saying. I'm not a child. You can't force me to eat what I don't want to eat. As a child, you could give me and you have to eat it. But now. So I said I don't like people work on Saturday. So I work on Saturday. I don't care if you don't work on Saturday. I work on Saturday. But you can go to hell, God. I work on Saturdays. He said, you despise my instructions. Yeah. Wow. You have a nice hair. You take it out. And when you take it out, your head looks like a cashew nut. Your head looks like a cashew nut without the hair. But you've decided that it doesn't matter. I'm going to give you this false hair and this head at home. You have it or you lump it. That's your problem. I don't care. And I say, I don't like you looking like a boy. I thought I married a girl. And you are telling me you grow to like it. You despise what I say. People despise their lovers. Which if a man do. And my Sabbath, they greatly polluted them. You rubbish his instruction. When God said to us, go out into the world and preach the gospel. Go to the nations. Preach the gospel. Rubbish it. You rubbish it. You think you'll do well? He says, I'll pour out my fury. on you. I'll pour out my fury on you in the wilderness to consume them. That's why Christians are the greatest congregation of beggars today. Begging for money, always want money for something, this and that. And the church was not made for that. I'm telling you, it's a deviation. And the church is the group of sick people, group of dying people, group of crisis, and one crisis after the other. And the crisis is not related to the work of God. It's related to our personal lives. Yes. Because you despise my death. You know, to despise somebody is to look down. Your husband says, I love sex. You just look down and say, you animal. You animal. And he said, that's what he likes. He said, I like that. That's what I like. And he looked down and said, you animal. Are you a leopard? Are you a lion? You can't despise somebody's you can't despise somebody's way of loving. That's what he has now. He wants to love. You can't despise. When you do that, you lose the love. You have a breakup of your relationship. Yeah. Wow. Verse 14. But I wrote for my name's sake. God said, I do my own thing. Verse 15. And I lifted up my hand in the wilderness. And I will not bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey. You will not come to my house anymore. Now, I was going to love you, you know. I was going to take you all over the world. I was going to have a great time with you. We would always be in milk and honey palaces. I'm not taking you to no milk and no honey palace no more. You can stay in your wilderness. I was going to take you to milk and honey palaces. I'm going to put you in nice places. But I've had a great time. I'm not taking you to have no great time nowhere. No Nero, no more. You stay in your world. I stay in my world of milk and honey. You stay in your world. Because you despise me. When I say something, you just find it funny. I don't want no relationship with you no more. You have your idols. You have idols in your heart, things you love. When I say what I like, you don't want to do it. You know, the church is so, I mean, you've ever found a group where the leader of the group is almost rejected? That's Jesus Christ. Where the word of God, his words are thrown set aside. Yeah, it's amazing. So I believe that it's a very great thing to love God. Be able to really say, God, how can I love you? Now, if you want to love God, always think of somebody you love and how you want the person to love you. Because you are a girl, and say, I love cards. So I'll give you cards. That's what you like. You like a card which somebody printed something and it's nice to you. We do it for you 100 times. Because you like it. How can I change what you like? I say, okay, me too. I say I don't like it. You can't force it on me. Don't be self-absorbed. Yes. I don't want to be self-absorbed with my life. I want to be self-absorbed. I want to be absorbed with his needs. He carried the weight of the world on his shoulder. Amen. Amen. Are you ready to love the Lord?
Yes.
Is it a great thing to love the Lord? Yeah. It's the one thing people don't do. Is to love him the way he says love is. It's the one thing. That's why I say, let's attempt to love God. And this camp marks a turning point in your life. I'm going to turn around and love God the way he says love is. His way. His way. Not with songs. Talking. No, actions. Love, actions. Stand to your feet, everybody. Let us pray. Everybody standing. Everybody standing. Father, thank you for the blessing of your word today. You guide us, you bless us, you lead us, you show us. Help us to do what is right and to please you mightily. As you show us these great things that we must do to accomplish great things for you. Guide us mightily into your will. Everybody, put your hand on your heart. Receive the ability to love God. Receive the ability to like God. Receive the ability to love somebody you cannot see. Receive the ability to like and to love someone who says what he wants. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your blessing and for putting in our hearts love for you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.